Good morning. Today's daf in Kiddushin Nun Aleph. We're starting with the Mishnah on Nun Amud Beis. Continuing here in the second parak of the Masechta, we're speaking about Shlichus. We're speaking about Tanai. Over here, we're going to be doing neither. Okay. In other words, a little bit of a departure from the general themes here of the second parak, but this is a classic Mishnah, and as Gemaras go, this is a classic discussion that we're going to be having over the course of today. The Mishnah begins, Mekadesh Isha Bita. So man's mekadesh a woman and her daughter, Oisha v'chusa ka'achas. Alternatively, a man is mekadesh two sisters simultaneously. So eina mikudasho. So the Mishnah tells us that the kedushin is not going to be taking effect. We know, in other words, this is just basics regarding nashim, and that is that there are a list of arayos, a group of women that you're not allowed to marry. So including this in this list of arayos, it's going to be a mother-daughter, and it's going to be two sisters. And if you attempt to do Kiddushin to the two of them, the Kiddushin is simply not valid. The Mishnah then follows up with the following story. There were five women. Of those five women, two of them were sisters. A man was gathering a basket of figs. Now it happens to be that it belonged to the women. And it also happened to be of the Shvi'is year. Those two details are important, but we are not going to be discussing those details today. The Amar. So, and the man says to them, I'm going to be mekadesh you with this basket. V'kibla achas man al yedei kulan. One accepted on behalf of all five. V'amru chachamim ein ha'achas mekudashos. And the chachamim said that the sisters are not part and parcel of the kedusha. In other words, of the five women, he was mekadesh three of the five women, but not the two sisters. Okay. We just got a rough sketch of the Mishnah. We don't have really any understanding yet of what the dynamics are, what the issues are. That's coming up right now. Menanimili. So we're going to go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, before the story. So the Mishnah just laid the groundwork that you can't be mekadesh neither a mother, daughter, nor can you be mekadesh two sisters. Now, menanimili, the Gemara wants to know, what's the source of this halacha? Amar Ami Barchama Amakra. So he's going to turn to the Parsha of Arayas, where in Perek Yud Ches happens to be Pasuk Yud Ches, 18:18. In this Pasuk, in the Parsha of Arayas, so the Torah introduces us to the idea that you can't marry two sisters. HaTorah Amra, Shebashash Nasu Tzara Zulazu, Lo Yehel Lo Likuchin Afil Ba'achas Mehem. And Rami Bar Chama darshens the Pasuk. And the Pasuk is telling us more than just you can't marry two sisters, is that the Kedushin won't even take effect. Look carefully at the Pasuk. Isha lachosa lo sikach. So, lekicha is obviously code for Kedushin, right? As we've gone over numerous times in the course of this Masechta. And so over here, even an attempt to be mekadesh to a sister, the lekuchin won't take effect, the Kedushin won't take effect to neither of the sisters. So, Amalei Ravi Yahachi, so Ravi says that is not pshat in the Pasuk. Can't be. So, because we also know that at the end of the Parsha of Arayos, it says that if you violate any one of the Yisuri Arayos, so what's going to happen is that the penalty is kares. Okay. Again, this is something which is basic to Seder Nashim. We know this. We've gone over this time and again. Now, and Rav over here asks such a strong question, an outstanding question, and that is that the kares penalty is because you married and slept with one of the arayos. That's when the kares penalty is going to be incurred. But Rami Bar Chama, if you're right, consider. What's happening over here is that the Kedushin does not take effect to either of the sisters. So if Kedushin didn't take effect to either of the sisters, they are not erva to you. A sister is only erva to you when you're married to her sister. But if you're married to neither of them, so then neither are going to be arayos to you. And so therefore, how could there be a kares penalty if neither is going to be an erva to you? It doesn't make any sense. So Elam Rav, now such a strong question, and what the Gemara doesn't do is the Gemara doesn't say, let's defend Rami Bar Chama. It seems to be that that this question is so strong, it's just a dismissal of his position, although, we don't know. It's only left for speculation in terms of whether Rami Bar Chama would recant his position or somehow he would defend his position. Either way, Elam Rav, Krab Zachazeh, Masisin, Kidaraba. So Rav explains the following. As far as the Pasuk is concerned, obviously the Pasuk is describing Zachar Zeh, which means to say that you married one of the sisters, and then an attempt to marry the other sister. Now, an attempt to marry the other sister, the Kedushin is not going to take effect. We all know that, right? Kedushin are not going to be tofis by Chai Vikrisis. That we all know. as far as the pasuk is concerned, when the pasuk lays down the kari's penalty, is that after being married to one of the sisters, if you sleep with the other sister, so then the kari's penalty is in fact going to be is going to kick in. That's how you read the pasuk according to Rava. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, you'll use Rava to explain the Mishnah. Now, if you're not reading, if you're just listening, it does sound a little bit confusing. But if you're reading, you understand, this is now Rava quoting Rava. Meaning, we're going to use the principle of Rava. Once you have the principle of Rava, you can understand our Mishnah. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, Rava has the following principle. It comes up a couple places in Shas, but today's daf is really one of the main places in which we discuss it. And that is that if I can't do something consecutively, I can't do it simultaneously. Okay. I'll say it again. Right? It's definitely a lot to think about. If I can't do something consecutively, well then I can't do it simultaneously. Okay. And let's plug it into our Mishnah. How's that going to work into our Mishnah? Meaning, can I do Zachar Zah? Obviously the answer is no. If you have two sisters, can I marry one after the other? The answer obviously is no. Well, if I can't marry one after the other, if I can't do it consecutively, well, then I can't do it simultaneously. I can't marry them at the same time. The Kedushin will not take effect at the same time. That's why in an attempt to be Mekadosh two of them simultaneously, neither will take effect since I can't do it consecutively. I can't marry one after the other. So this idea, this principle of Rabba, of Kol Sheinu B'Zeh Hazeh, I feel bavas achaseinu. So the Gemara now is going to be litigating it for a little bit of today's daf gufa. I'm a rabbi called she'inu b'zeachazeh. I feel bavas achaseinu. So on this now, Abai is going to be challenging. Let's look at the top of nun aleph amud aleph. Hamar be b'maisa perusa mesukanim b'masav mekukalim. So over here we're challenging first from agricultural halacha trumas ma'isers. We're focusing right now on the ma'iser. Ma'iser is 10%. 10% that's going to be given over to the Levi. As opposed to Truma, how much Truma do you have to take off? The Torah does not say. Chita achas poteres sakri, you only have to take off one kernel for Truma, but there are recommendations in terms of what you should be giving off for Truma. It's either going to be a 40th, a 50th, or a 60th. That's the range of recommended amount that you have to take off for Truma. A Beinoni, a regular person, will take off a 50th, which is 2%. So you probably heard me say this before. 2% is given to the Kohen. That's Truma Gedola. Then after the Truma Gedola, then you take 10%. Now 10% is not a recommended amount, but 10% is a very precise amount. In fact, it's baked into the bread, pun intended. Well, I don't know about the pun being intended, but it's built in. Meaning, what is that next tithing called? It's called Meiser. Meiser is 10%. So over here, 10% is 10%. You can't play around with that number. It's not 9%, it's not 11%, but rather it's 10%. And it's certainly not 20%. Now, if a person went after having taken off his truma, now goes and takes off Meiser, and instead of taking 10%, he now takes 20%. So now what we have is what's called a problem. He's marbe b'meiser. He took off too much Meiser. So what is the result of taking off too much Meiser? So as far as the 80% remaining, you were misaking. You corrected, you fixed it. In other words, it's no longer tevil. But as far as now the 20% is concerned, so what you have now is a problem. What do you have? You have a tarov. It's a mixture you have a mixture of Meiser Rishon and Tevel. And they're mixed together. In other words, because how much of that 20% is Meiser Rishon? Only 10% of it is. And how much of it is now is non-Meiser Rishon? Well, another 10%. So now what you have is what's called a Tarovus. Now, in terms of how to solve for that problem, another time, we can figure out how to solve for the problem. That's not our focus right now. Our focus is on the following, Vamai. Name a kosher in a bazaar, Bavasa. I don't understand. Can I take off Meiser twice? The answer obviously is no. Once you take off your first Meiser, the next Meiser you take off, the next Meiser Rishon that you take off is not going to be Meiser Rishon. Again, 10% is only 10%. It's exactly 10%. So if I try to do it consecutively, it simply won't work. So the Gemara now is asking what seems to be a really strong question. According to you, Rabba, if I can't do something consecutively, I can't do it simultaneously. So over here, I can take off Meiser Rishon, followed then by another Meiser Rishon. It simply will not work. Well, if I can't do it consecutively, I can't do it simultaneously. So, and if that's true, so then when you took off 20%, so none of it should be Meiser Rishon. It's a strong question. So Amar Leh, so now, In defense of Rabbah, the Gemara says like this. Shani Maisa Disa Lachatzah and Diyamar Tiskarish Paga Dechita Kacha. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when describing Maisa Rishon, it's not a good kasha because you take a kernel, right? A single kernel of wheat or whatever you're taking of Trumas and Maisras. Can you subdivide that kernel? The answer, of course, is yes. You could physically break it up, and halachically, you can also break it up as well. In other words, what you could do with a single kernel is that you could be mafrish half of that kernel towards the Trumas and Maisras. Ah. So over here, we're talking about something which is divisible. As opposed to our discussion, we're talking about women. Women, obviously, are indivisible. Can't take a single woman and divide her in half, neither physically nor halachically. But when it comes to a kernel of wheat, you could physically and halachically divide in half. So if I'm taking off 20%, how can 10% of it be miser? It's very simple. Because half of it can, in fact, become miser. Because even with a single kernel of wheat, half of it can become miser. So the halachas regarding Trumas and Maisers are really not going to impact our discussion. So the Gemara says, okay, let's turn to our next topic, which is Maiser Behema. Every tenth animal of your flock is now going to be dedicated as a carbon. It's called Maiser Behema. At the end of Masechta Bechoros, we spent a perek talking about this particular topic. Now, so over here, here's the halacha. I'm counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And now the 10th animal is coming out through the pen. Now the opening in the pen as the animals are coming out is large enough where hopefully only one animal comes out. But here you have now two animals squeezing out of that entrance. And let's just assume for the purpose of this discussion that they're coming out at the same time. Yeah. So now that the two of them are coming out at the same time, so what do I have? I have number 10, but I also have number 11. What's the halacha? 10 and 11 are mixed together. And again, how to solve for that problem is a discussion, but we're not going to have it right now. We're turning to the more fundamental point, which is, can I do 10 then followed by 11? No. In other words, only the 10th animal has Kedusha. The 11th animal does not have Kedusha. No. So over here, I can't do it consecutively. And again, if I can't do it consecutively, I can't do it simultaneously. And according to you, Rabbah, that means that when the two come out simultaneously, so neither of them should have Kedusha, right? Again, it's a question against Rabbah and Rabbah's principle. Shani Maiser Behema Deisa Betaus did none. So the Gemara says Maiser Behema is not going to be challenging because Maiser Behema also operates with a somewhat different set of rules, and that is that in the world of Maiser Behema, you could be Makdish animals numbers 9, 10, and 11. Now, if you learned already Masechta Bechoros and you went to that last parak over there, so you remember this well. Did none. I don't know about well, but you remember. So it did none. Kara lichiasiri lasiri shilachara sarasiri. So shloshtam mikudeshes, mikudashin. So let's say the following occurs. Number 9 comes out. Okay, you're a little bit hazy in your thinking. And when that number 9 comes out, so you're thinking about number 10. So number 9 comes out and you make the following pronouncement. That was number 10. Now, I know the animal previously was number 8, and you counted as number 8, but now as the 9th animal comes out, you got a little bit confused, you called it number 10. No. Now, what you want to do is you want to undo your mistake. So the next animal comes out. So you want to call it number 9, even though it's actual number 10. No. Well, the next animal that came out was actual number 10, but you called it number 9. You know what's going to happen with that 11th animal. 11th animal comes out, and what do? Well, you're calling it number 10. The animal immediately prior, you called number 9. Makes sense that you're calling actual number 11 number 10. So, you just labeled three animals. Well, two of the animals you labeled number 10, number 9 and number 11, and one of the animals you labeled number 9, but that was actual number 10. What's the result? Shloshtam mikudashin. All three of them now have a kedusha of Maiser Behema. Okay. Why that is and more on this particular topic, see the Gemara Bechoros. That's not, we don't have to go know more than what I just offered right now for the purposes of our sugya. What does that mean? It means that in the world of Maiser Behema, so animals numbers 9, 10, and 11 have an ability to become kadosh. Uh-huh. So when 10 and 11 come out simultaneously, and so the reason why they both have kedusha is because in other circumstances, number 11 can in fact have kedusha. So once again, this is not going to be a fair question to ask against Rabbah. So the Gemara says, okay, let's turn now to the carbon toda. Carbon toda is where you bring an animal after surviving a life-harrowing experience where you went through four different types of natural disasters and you survived. And so what you're going to do now is you're going to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing you to live. And you'll bring a carbon. It's called the carbon toda. Obviously, in the absence today of the carbon toda, so what do? So we make a berachas agama, right? That's the best we can do right now without a Beis HaMikdash. Anyway, the carbon toda has got a lot of interesting rules to it. It's effectively, essentially a carbon shlamim, but, right, whatever. I don't want to have to go through the details right now. But what we need to know right now is that with the carbon toda, there are going to be 40 loaves of bread. Okay, divided into four different types. Again, a lot more details right now. All we have to know right now is the number 40. 40 loaves of bread are brought together with a carbon toda. Now, what's the halacha? So, hare toda, delesa batalos, velesa nami bezecher zeh. Now, by toda, so there's no margin of error. In other words, 40 is 40. And we also know that there's no zecher zeh. Now, in a moment, I'll explain that even better. V'itmar, toda shenishchetu al shmonim chalos, chizki amar kashela, arba'im mitok shmonim. And Rav Yochanan Amar lo kashela, arba'im mitok shmonim. So let's say that you shechted your carbon toda, and you prepared not 40 loaves of bread, but rather 80 loaves of bread. Okay, you got excited. 80 loaves of bread. Right, Torah says 40? Yeah, I could do better. 80 loaves of bread. So now we have a machlokes between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. According to Chizkiah, 40 of those 80 are now going to have the Kedushas Haguf. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, none of those breads are going to have Kedushas Haguf. Now, at this point in time, the Gemara assumes that over here, Can I do it consecutively? The answer, of course, is no. Once I was makdish the first 40, I want to go ahead and be makdish another 40. Doesn't work. The Torah says very clearly 40 loaves of bread. 40 means 40. So I can do it consecutively. And according to you, Rabbah, if I can't do it consecutively, so I also can't do it bevasachas. I can't do it simultaneously. How do you understand over here the position of Chizkiah? Chizkiah says that 40 of the 80 become kadosh. Why? I can't do it consecutively. If I can't do it consecutively, I can't do it simultaneously. Okay, seems to be a strong question. Lavit Marla, so the Gemara says, yeah, it is a strong question, but let's go back and let's learn another halacha. And that is Amar Rabbi Zera, right? Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Zera. Okay, Girsa issues, but anyway. Hakol modim kol eichad amar kashe le'arba mitoch shmonim kache. And lo yiktishu arba imelim kem kashe shmonim lo kadeshe. So over here, Rabbi Zera explains that as follows, and that is that if your original intention is that you only want 40 of the 80 loaves to become kadosh, so why did you bring 80 if you only want 40 to become kadosh? Is what's called an insurance policy, right? Nowadays we live where everyone has an insurance policy. We have multiple insurance policies on our home, car, life. We love insurance policies. We love them. Okay, and I particularly like the premiums as well. That makes me so happy. So over here, well, you brought 80 because of an insurance policy. In other words, 40 is what you need, but you're a little bit nervous. So what you did is you brought an additional 40 just in case. So under those circumstances, then everyone's going to agree that only 40 have Kedusha because the only reason why you brought the additional 40 was just for achrayus, for purposes of insurance. And if, in fact, and there would be no argument there. And if, in fact, you insist that all 80 become kadosh, then none of them become kadosh. So over here, those are the points of agreement between Rabbi Yochanan and Chizkiah. Where do they disagree? So lo nechlechu ela bistam. Over here, you brought 80 with no explanation. So now, mar savar l'achrayis kamechavein, mar savar l'karben gadol kamechavein. So with no explanation, so what did you do? In other words, why did you bring an additional 40? That's the machlokas. Meaning, so over here, one is of the position that it was just for achrayus. It was just for insurance purposes, which means that really, in Be'etzim, you only want to be Mekadosh 40. And the other position is, no, you want Karban Gadol. You want to bring actual all 80, even though you shouldn't have, but that's what you wanted to do. So in other words, the only machlokas is that when a person does not articulate, explain why he's bringing 80, so what is the explanation we're providing for the individual? Interesting. Generally, what do we say? We generally say that a person wants to do the right thing. So over here, if the insurance is the right thing and the carbon gadol is the wrong thing, wouldn't we like to assume that the person, in fact, did the right thing as opposed to the wrong thing? I'm just thinking out loud right now. Anyway, we go back. Okay, so we have exhausted the questions against Rabbah. We have successfully defended Rabbah. Rabbah's rule is principle. Our first big idea for today, we got two big ideas coming up today. Our first big idea today is that if I cannot do something consecutively, I cannot do it simultaneously. Good. That's the big idea of Rabbah. And why are we going over that big idea? Because it's used to explain our Mishnah. Our Mishnah that states that if you're Mekadesh two sisters simultaneously, neither take effect. Why? Rami Bar Chama had a drasha. The Gemara says, I don't like the drasha. It doesn't seem to work. So Rava says, we'll use the principle of Rabba. In other words, I know I can't do it v'zeh or zeh. That for sure, that's a given. You cannot be Mekadesh two sisters zeh or zeh, obviously. If I can't do it v'zeh or zeh, I can't do it b'vasachas. If I attempt to do it simultaneously, neither of them are going to be mekudosh. Good. So that's the rule of kol she'ino b'zeh hazeh, ino b'vasachas. Used to explain our Mishnah. And that explanation is provided by Rava, quoting Rabba. So far, so good. Now, v'rava l'amalei lishnoi k'rabba, typically the kedushin shemus yon lebi'aninu. Now, the Gemara says, that's interesting. Rava is using Rabba to explain our Mishnah. Do you know that Rava also has another really big idea, which we're going to be spending the remainder of today's daf going over? And that is Kedushin She'ina Misurin Labia, Ina Kedushin. If the Kedushin cannot result in the act of intimacy between husband and wife, so then the Kedushin itself is no good. This is Kedushin She'ina Misurin Labia. I'll explain that better in just a moment. So Rava, that is Rava's position. Happens to be a Bachlokas, happens to be a Bai argues, it happens to be, we're going to be spending the second half of today's daf going over. Meanwhile, however, once you have that rule of Rava with an Aleph, I don't need to invoke over here the rule of Rabba with a Hey. That's the Gemara's question. V'Rava, I'm a little shnoi ka Rabba, tepeklei, dekadushin shei mesur labia, ninu. So the Gemara's answer is, L'dvarav derab mebar chama. So the Gemara says he was only invoking Rabba over here because he was using it as a counter against Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama says, I got this drasha. And to that, the Rava's challenge is, but wait one second, it can't work. In other words, the Kedushin doesn't take effect. And if the Kedushin doesn't take effect, there's not going to be any Karis. How are you, Rami Bar Chama, going to explain the Mishnah? So you, Rami Bar Chama, could use the rule of Rabba. Now, as far as I'm concerned, I don't even need it. Meaning, I may subscribe to it, but I don't even need it. I have another rule that allows me easily to explain our Mishnah. Okay, let's go over this rule a little bit more. Kedushin Shein Masurin Labia. Okay, that if the Kedushin cannot result in Bia between man and woman, so then the Kedushin is not going to be good. Okay, let's first look at it in our case over here. A man goes over to two sisters and attempts to be Mekadesh to two sisters. Okay, and he's Mekadesh them simultaneously. Now, I know we just went over in the first part of today's daf that the Kedushin doesn't take effect. But for a moment, let's just imagine the Kedushin does take effect. Let's see what were to happen. Okay. Can you now have relations with either one of them? The answer obviously is no. Why not? Because each one of them may in fact be achos ishto, may be the sister of your wife. In other words, again, you try to affect Kedushin with one of the two. Again, being Mekadesh both of them is out of the question. So you are being Mekadesh one of the two. You don't know which one you are Mekadesh. And even if we're going to assume that you are Mekadesh one of the two, well, it can't result in Bia because she may in fact be Achos Ishto. This is a Suffolk on an Isser Daraisa. It's a Suffolk Erva. So a Suffolk Erva is an Isser. And so therefore it cannot result in Bia. And since it can't result in Bia, the Kedushin itself does not take effect. This is what's called Kedushin She'in Misurin Labia. According to Rava, the Kedushin is simply no good. The Kedushin itself doesn't take effect. Okay. Tosfos over here, right, there's only one Tosfos on the summit, but it is critical, it's fundamental. Tosfos over here wonders, Kedushin She'in Misurin Labia, according to Rava, the Kedushin doesn't take effect. How can a Kohen marry an Amana? Meaning, a Kohen shouldn't be marrying an Amana. I said Amana, by the way. I want to quickly edit myself, a grusha. How can a Kohen marry a grusha? Now, a Kohen should not be marrying a grusha, meaning the Torah says not to do it. But we all know that if the Kohen marries a grusha, the Kedushin takes effect. and they're married, and okay, and he's violating a law as he's living with her, but there is an allowance for the kedushin to take effect. Tosfos over here says, I don't understand. According to Rava, we have this rule of kedushin she'in on mister and labia is in a kedushin. A kohen is mekadesh a grusha. Can he have bia with her? I mean, physically yes, but halachically no. And so therefore, the kedushin shouldn't take effect. And meanwhile, we all know, we've gone through enough of Seder Nashim where we know the kedushin does in fact take effect. So what's going on over here? The Tosfos is kasha. Look at the Tosfos over here, perish bekunsha tzeksiva va'ala debi'in rui labia. So according to Rashi, Rashi's explanation of Rava is that it's based on a pasuk and the drasha, but Tosfos says, but I don't understand. So v'kasha da ha'chayve lavin enim ru'i labia umav v'tafsi be'kedushin. Okay, so the question of Gerusha. And any chayve lavin. L'kach nira l'farish kedushin she'em asur labia klamar she'isar habia al yedei kedushin. So Tosfos over here gives a really precise definition of kedushin she'en nimsar labia. And that is that the kedushin itself creates the iser. You see, when a kohen marries a grusha, so over there is the kedushin creating the iser? No, the iser already existed. A kohen cannot marry a grusha. Over here in our discussion, in other words, she only is your wife's sister because you're mekadesh your wife. In other words, the kedushin creates the iser. Now, that is Tosfos' definition of kedushin hanim selabia. Okay. Anyway, so according to Rava, so an explanation of our Mishnah, why is it that the kedushin does not take effect with the two sisters? So you don't need Rava's rule of kol she'eino b'zachar ze'eino b'vasachas, meaning because according to Rava, you have another big idea, another big rule, and that is it's a kedushin she'enim selabia. And over here for the remainder of today's daf, what are we going to do? Litigate this very big idea of Rava. Itmar, we're on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, we're halfway down in the Amud, right after the two dots, beginning of the line. Itmar, kedushin she'em asur labia. Abai Amar have a kedushin, Rav Amar lo have a kedushin. So we have a basic machlokas amongst the Amorayim, whether or not such kedushin takes effect or does not take effect. Amar Rav Abara, Hini Asbury Lay. So Rav says that it was explained to me by Bar Ahina. Kikach ish isha uva'ala kedushin amasun labia have a kedushin. Kedushin she'em asun labia lo have a kedushin. So in other words, you could darshan from the pasuk. The Torah goes on to say, Kikach ish isha uba'ala. So we know that Kiyikach is a reference to Kesef Kiddushin. Okay, that goes back to the first daf of our Masechta. And Uba Allah. So that means to say that in order for Kiddushin to be able to take effect, so it has to be able to result in Bia. So, but Kiddushin, Shem is only Bia, law of a Kiddushin. But if the Kiddushin does not result in Bia, so therefore the Kiddushin itself is not a Kiddushin. The Gemara discusses this further. Tanan. So achas meisha uvita, oh meisha vachos amekudashos. Ve'amai kedushin she'em asur labia ninu. So tiyufta derava. So let's go back to our Mishnah. So in our Mishnah, what do we have? The following scenario where a man attempts to be mekadesh either a mother daughter or two sisters. So the Gemara says that in a case where he's Mekadesh to two of them, the Kedushin does not take effect. But if it was Mekadesh one of them, so either he was Mekadesh either the mother or the daughter, or he was Mekadesh one of the sisters, so but he's not Mefarish, but he didn't explain which one he was Mekadesh, so presumably, in such a case, the Kedushin would work. Now, why do I say presumably? Well, the Mishnah tells us that in an attempt to be Mekadesh both, it doesn't work. But the diuk in the Mishnah is that if I only want to be Mekadesh one of the two, well, then it would work, even though you didn't specify which one of the two. Now, according to Rava, that's not going to work as well. According to Rava, if I don't know which one, so we all know that you can't come; it can't consummate the Kedushin. In other words, she is usher to you. She may be your wife's sister. It's a suffix on Erva. So you can't consummate the marriage. So if you're not allowed to consummate the marriage, so then the kedushin shouldn't take effect. So Rava says, okay, look, I have to admit that part is difficult, But what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn your attention to the second half of the Mishnah. Remember? So, Maisa b'chamesh nashim v'hem she'achas v'liket acha kakal shal te'inim shalahem Maisa v'shal shviyas haisa v'ama areku chemekudashos li b'kakala zu amru chachamim in achayis mekudashos ha'achayis v'deinim mekudashos ha'nachayis mekudashos. So, do you recall, do you remember that in the second half of the Mishnah what happened is that you were mekadesh five women. Of those five women, two of them were sisters. Under those circumstances, what do we say? The two sisters are not mekudashos, but the three women, the three non-sisters, are in fact mekudashos. Now, heichidami. Now, in that case over there, I'd like to pinpoint and specify what exactly happened. What did you say? So, if you said, ilem adamer kulchem, then I want to be mekadesh all of you. So that can't be because kniat v'chamor hu v'at v'chamor lo kana. So the Gemara says that it's simply impossible. Imagine for a moment, we're going to be discussing this more in more detail in Baba Basra. I want to make a kinyan, and I go over to a person and I say, look, you see, I want you and the donkey to acquire the following. You heard me correctly. I want you and the donkey to acquire the following. Now, the donkey is not a person. Donkey's an animal. The donkey is not acquiring anything. Okay, they're just simply, halacha does not allow or view a donkey to be someone who can make a kinyan. A cotton can't make a kinyan. It goes without saying that an animal cannot make a kinyan. If I now designate two people to be the acquirers of an item, so it doesn't work for either one of them. Okay, the way Rashi presents it, you can see Rashi on the bottom of the Amud Aleph. So Rashi says, the reason doesn't work is because sharei lo hitna lezeh below zeh. It's almost like a built-in condition. I only want the kinyan to work if both of you are going to be konim, but if both of you can't be konim, then I don't want either of you to be konim. Sounds like a condition. However you want to explain it, it simply doesn't work. So, if I can't do kini'at v'chamor, I certainly can't be mekadesh five women, where two of those five women are in fact sisters. So, it can be that he said kulchem, it simply doesn't work. So as we turn now to the Amud Beis, so he said achas mikem, v'ktani ein achas mekudashos. So over here, when you say achas mehem, so the kedushin is not going to take effect to the two sisters. According to Rava, this makes all the sense in the world. Why? Because it's kedushin she'ena mesur labia. And that's why the kedushin doesn't take effect to both of the sisters. So now, Rava looks at Abaye and Rava says to Abaye, look, I know the first half of the Mishnah does not fit in very well with my position, but the second half of the Mishnah fits in perfectly with my position. And so, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to iron out the Mishnah. And the Gemara makes exactly this point. L'Rava kasha reisha l'Abaye, kasha seif Abaye, matar zatame, Rava matar zatame. And so the Gemara says, good, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to make mataritz the Mishnah for both Abaye and for Rava. Let's start with Abaye. Abaye matar zatame. Now remember, according to Abaye, Kedushin, HaMesur Labia is in fact going to be Kedushin. So Abaye matar zatame, Mekadesh Yishav Bita, Uishav Achos, Akachas, and Mekudashos, Ha'achas Mishav Bita, Mishav Achos, and Mekudashos. So if your attempt is to be Mekadesh both of them, the Kedushin doesn't take effect. But if you're trying to be Mekadesh one of the two, it does take effect. You can't consummate the marriage, according to Abaye, that's fine. Meaning, it's fine. None of this is fine. None of this is good. But at least the Kedushin takes effect, because Kedushin, I'm assuming Labia, according to Abaye, is in fact Kedushin. But if you stipulate and you say that the Kedushin is only going to take effect if it's Ru'uya Labia, so over here you actually articulate this as a Tanai, then the Kedushin doesn't take effect even to one of the two. Now, according to Abaye, that brings us to the next story of the Mishnah. So over here, he actually, in the second half of the Mishnah, the story of the five women, he actually articulated, I'm only going to be Mekadesh the one who is Ru'uya Labia, which can't be either one of the two sisters, only leaving the three remaining women eligible for Kedushin, and the Kedushin will only take effect on the three remaining women. Rava mataris atame, so we just ironed out the Mishnah for Abaye. Now let's do the same thing for Rava. Let's iron out the Mishnah for Rava. Now again, according to Rava, Kedushin, HaMesurin Labia is Inan Mikudeshes. So now, Rava mataris atame, Mekadesh Achas, Isha Ubita. Hamikadosh achas mei isha ubita o. Achas mei isha vachosa nasa kemisha kiddush isha ubita o isha vachota ka achas ve'ino mekudashos. So according to Rava, here's how we're going to explain the Mishnah. If you're being mekadosh one of the two sisters or one of the mother-daughter, it's like you're trying to be mekadosh both of them, i.e., neither of them are going to be mekudashos. And just like in the case of both of them, neither, in the case of one of them, even one of them is not going to be mekadosh to you, because again, according to Rava, kedushin amesurin labia is einan kedushin. Tashma, I'm sorry. Finishing up, maisanami. And now we move to the story, and the story according to Rava, we already know it fits in perfectly with Rava. Maisanami bechamish hashem raneim sheachas v'likedacha kakal shotenim v'amar arikuchem. So achas mishayachas mekudashos ibekakal azu v'amar chachamim enachas mekudashos. The sisters are not part and parcel of the kedushin, because again, as far as the sisters are concerned, so they're einan ru'uyin labia, therefore the kedushin does not take effect. Beautiful. So what we have over here is our Mishnah. And now we learned the Mishnah both according to the position of Abai and according to the position of Rava. Let's go a little bit more today, as the Gemara is going to continue along its challenging of Abai and Rava. Tashma, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah coming up on Samach Dalid, Mekadosh es Bito Stam. So let's say a man accepts Kedushin for his daughter, Ein Habogros Bechlal, Haktanos Bechlal, Ve'amai Kedushin Shem Esurin Labia Ninu, Utiyuf Tadarava. A man's got a bunch of girls, older girls, younger girls, right? Gedolos, Ketanos. And what does he do? He's Mekadosh, but he doesn't explain which one of the girls he was Mekadosh. Okay, the father should have been a little bit more responsible in terms of identifying which one of his daughters is Mekadosh, I admit. But the point over here is that he was Mekadosh one of the daughters. We don't know which one. The Gedolos are not part of the consideration. In other words, who was he Mekadosh? The younger ones, the minors. Now, Amlecha Rava. Now, before, oh, I'm sorry. So the Ve'amai, I think I read this, but I just want to make sure I read it. Kedushin Shem Esurin Labia Ninu V'Tiyufta De Rava. And now this is definitely problematic for Rava. Why? Because over here, how many daughters does he have? We don't know. We're going to assume a lot. Lots of older girls, lots of younger girls. We don't even need lots. We just need two. Two older girls, two younger girls. I say the number two because it's a plural. I'm just being safe. We're assuming two on each side. So if it's two younger daughters, so that means, of course, by definition, they're sisters. And if they're sisters, according to Rava, the Kedushin should take effect to neither of the two. No. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says that the younger ones, the minors, are in fact going to be mekudashos. According to Rava, how do you explain that? So Amalecha Rava Hachavah Maiskin and Kishen Shem Ela Gedola Ketana. So Rava will tell you that we're just going to adjust the numbers. Over here, you know how many daughters he had? It was a total of two. One was an adult and the other one was a minor. Oh. Now, Habogros Ketani. Now, that admittedly is a little bit strange because the Mishnah does use the word Bogros. So my Bogros to Amal. I think Gemara says Bogros just simply means in general, meaning when men have older and younger daughters. That's all the Mishnah means. But the particular case under review is that it was one older and one younger. So, the Gemara pushes and the Gemara says, okay, so let me get this straight. He's got one older daughter, one younger daughter. He was Mekadosh, one of the two. We don't know which one it is. We're going to assume it's the minor. So, So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. And that is that the older daughter says to dad, look, dad, you did a great job raising me. I love you. I trust you. I want you to be my shliach, to be Mekadosh me, to whomever you see fit. So now dad has the right to be Mekadosh both of his daughters. His minor, because she's a minor, and his older one, because she appointed him as a shliach. Now it's fair to ask. He was Mekadosh one of the two. Now, by the way, I'm just going to challenge for a moment the trust that the older one had in dad. Right, Dad, you're the best, you're the greatest. I really trust you're going to make your shliach. And then what does dad do? He's Mekadosh one of them. He doesn't articulate which one he was Mekadosh. So much for the trust in dad. Anyway, sorry, that was just a thought. So, the Gemara says, even still, he's only going to be Mekadosh, the minor daughter, not the older daughter. Why? The Gemara says, look, it's reality. And that is that if he's Mekadosh's older daughter, what financial benefit does he get from it? Nothing. If he's mekadosh the minor daughter, what financial benefit is he getting out of it? The kesef kedushin. So when you have an option, I can go with A or B, and A does not have a financial benefit, and B does, you're going to go with B. Over here, he's going to go with the minor daughter. So Milo is getting darmer le kedusha le didcha. So the Gemara says, okay, but how about this? How about maybe the older daughter said to dad, not only do I love you, not only do I trust you, but when you accept the kesef kedushin on my behalf, you know what, dad? Keep the kesef kedushin. I just want to get married. So in other words, so now everything's equal. The father is authorized to be mekadosh both the older and the younger. Father's going to be financially benefiting from the older and the younger. And so now, how do I know that he was mekadosh the younger one? So afilo hachi lo shavikinish mitzvah deram yaleh v'avid mitzvah de lo ram yaleh. So the Gemara says, still, I'm going to insist that he was mekadosh the younger one, not the older one. Why? Because there's a mitzvah to be mekadosh the younger one as opposed to the older one. It's not as much of a mitzvah. Okay. Much to discuss over here in terms of there's a mitzvah to be mekadosh your katana and not to be mekadosh your gedola. Meaning, obviously, there's a mitzvah to marry off all your children. It, obviously, over here, the Gemara is talking about relatively speaking, it's more of a mitzvah to be mekadosh your katana than that of the older. Okay, that seems to be the simple pshat of the Gemara. Okay. In addition to that, also, right, the Rishonim already point out, in the beginning of our perek on Daf Mem Aleph, what do we learn together? Asur la'adam l'kadesh as bito ketana. You shouldn't be marrying off your minor daughter. In other words, you should wait till she's an ara. How do you understand that in light of our Gemara over here? That's a good question. It's not my question. The Rishonim are already bothered by that. We're going to continue. Tashma. We're going to go a little bit further today. So let's say you have two daughters from two wives. Va'amar kidash is bito gedola. And now, you have at least two daughters from each of the wives. And now, kidash is bitya gedola ve'ini yodeim gedola shebe gedola shebe gedola shebe katana shebe katana shebe gedola shebe gedola shebe gedola mina gedola shebe katana shekulana certain chutz me katana shebe katana shefer every mayor. So over here you have four daughters all ranging in age. And you said I married off the older one. Now in English, by the way, we have words like oldest and older. Okay? But over here, though, in the Lashon HaKodesh, we're just simply saying Gedola, which I guess would translate in English as one of the older ones. Of the four, three of them are eligible to be described as one of the older ones. Because relatively speaking, one is younger than any one of the older three. The only one who we know is not Mekudeshes is the baby. So, now, before I get to the Gemara's answer, let me just quickly spell out the Gemara's question. Should have done that. Not too late. And that is, the Gemara is bothered by a simple question. According to you, Rava, it's Kedushin She'ina Misura Labia. Meaning you're Mekadosh, one of the girls, two of them are sisters, and meanwhile, the Kedushin will take effect to one of those two. Okay? Even though the two of them are sisters, and each one of them is a suffix of Achos Ishto. And so therefore, it cannot consummate that marriage. Therefore, according to you, Rava, the Kedushin should never take effect. Right? So the Gemara says that no, when the kedushin was done, the kedushin was done definitively to one of the three girls. It just happens to be that afterwards it got mixed up. Now, exactly what the Gemara means by this, the girls got mixed up, the communication got mixed up. However you want to say it, at the time of kedushin, it was known definitively who you're a mekadosh, but afterwards, confusion subsequently ensued. Deganami, the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, it's not a forced answer. It actually textually works. Because Diktani Eni Yodea Velo Ketani En Yadua. It says Enu Yodea, and he doesn't know now which one he was Mekadesh. It doesn't say Enu Yadua. So Shmamina. So the Gemara says, and that's the case under discussion. So the Gemara says, and if that's all, if all this is true, then what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that we don't subscribe to the view of Rav Yossi. Whoever the author of the Braisa is not subscribing to Rav Yossi. Which Rav Yossi? The one that says that a person will not put himself in a state of suffix. In other words, people do not say something ambiguously. People, when they talk, they speak unambiguously. And anything, any comment, any statement which is an ambiguous comment is simply going to be disregarded halachically. And the author of this Tana, obviously, well, we know it's Rav Meir. And Rav Meir doesn't subscribe to the view of Rav Yossi. Okay. We're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we're going to pick it up, Tashma. There's really, the sugya will end, but in tomorrow's daf. So over here, we'll just pause. Tomorrow we'll reset. We'll continue and finish the discussion of Bia HaMasur LeBia. I'm sorry, of Kedushin HaMasur LeBia. We, in today's daf, went over two huge ideas in terms of Seder Nashim. Right? Today, encapsulated in Daf Nun Aleph of Kedushin, major ideas. Based on the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that if I make an attempt to be Mekadesh two sisters, or an attempt to be Mekadesh mother-daughter, neither of them are going to be Mekudeshes. Why should that be? The daf started today with Rami Bar Chama darshaning it from a pasuk. The Gemara points out that his drasha is really not a viable way to explain our Mishnah. So what is a viable way to explain our Mishnah? So we have two ways to explain it. We'll start with Rabbah. Rabbah with a hey. Rabbah says that if I can't do something consecutively, I can't do it simultaneously. Kol she'ena b'zechazeh, ena b'vasachas. Can I be mekadesh one sister, followed then by another sister? The answer, of course, is no. And if I can't do it consecutively, I can't do it simultaneously. That's the rule of Rabbah. So that's one way to explain our Mishnah. Alternatively, another way to explain our Mishnah is if you subscribe to the viewpoint of Rava with an aleph, and that is a kedushin she'ena misurin lebia is ena kedushin. Part of the prerequisite of Kedushin to take effect is that it has to be that is a Kedushin where you can consummate that Kedushin, where the Torah would allow you to consummate that Kedushin. But if the Kedushin does not result in Bia, it can't result in Bia, so then the Kedushin is not going to be a Kedushin. That's Rava's position. Now, this is a controversial position. Abaye argues on Rava, and over the course of most of today's daf, we went the back and forth of Rava Abaye and which of those positions is a more defensible position.